appreciated the service so far this morning. Just by way of information, we did have communication with Tanya this morning. She started out due to road conditions. She turned around and went home. Continue to pray for her. Sunday school lesson I had to really blessed my heart as we studied that lesson this morning and how these things are written for our learning. Appreciated the devotional this morning as well. And do we see the circumstances in our life this morning as an opportunity to grow and to also serve the Lord in whatever circumstances they are? How would I respond if I was in prison, like the Apostle Paul was? How would I respond if I was really wrongfully treated by my brothers? Even though that may be the case, it's never right to do wrong. I know Joseph had the power to whip those brothers of his, but he chose to bring true repentance out of them and to be a stepping stone in God's program and God's work. For a message this morning, I'd like you to go to Psalms chapter 78. What is in there for us this morning? Again, these things are written for our learning. I'm going to read it in just a little bit, but not quite yet. But I want you to turn there a while. The title of my message this morning is A Challenge for Fathers. Now, while I recognize the fact this morning that I hesitated to give it that title. We have older youth among us. But I want you to take the challenge this morning that you are a challenge to you that you are the leaders to the younger youth group. And you are setting the example. I want you to recognize this morning that this is also for you. As we think of a challenge of authority in the home, the role of mom is pretty well recognized by everyone, including secular society, as a vital part of family life. But for some reason, fathers have been regulated or put to the position of a second-class person in the home. Especially in our society today, with the active feminist movement. And we know that we came close to having a woman to be the president of this country, which is very high up in the world of witchcraft. A well-known feminist leader has gone so far as to say that fathers are a biological necessity. From the standpoint of the Word of God this morning, and the evidence of a great deal of research that has been done recently, such a statement is an absurdity. Dads have a vital role in bringing strength and stability to the home. And when fathers fail to do that, sometimes others need to fill that role. Sometimes others do fill that role. Actually, both mom and dad will bring ingredients into the home that are very crucial to the spiritual and emotional stability within the home. Those two influence together, especially when they are the product of a godly percentage, are vital forces in shaping spiritually and emotional healthy children. Today, children who live in a single parent home, have increased by 300% since 1963. Since 1963, violent crime has increased over 500% from 1963 to 2017. Illegitimate births since 1963 to 2017 have increased by 400%. Divorce has increased by 400% since 1963. Children living in single-parent homes have increased by 300%. Teenage suicide has increased by 200%. Another alarming statistic is the crime among the very young, ages 7 to 12, has increased 60% in just the last few years. Why has this happened? There are many reasons, but one of the major causes of this is the breakdown of the home. How does that relate to the Mennonite Church? How does that relate to Christian homes? Scripture and history show us that as goes the home, so goes the society. In Psalms 127, verses 1 to 2, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain." Verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early." Basically, it says to retire late. "To eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives his beloved sleep." If we as fathers can live a consistent life, our children will want what you have. Our children will want what we have when we can be consistent. In Psalm 78 now, how does this relate to all of this? Again, these things are written for our learning. I'm going to read the first 8 verses in this chapter. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline thine ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will stir dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide these things from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back to the day of battle." I'm going to leave off there. This is a history of Israel. These things, again, are written for our learning. They are. They're written for our learning. Here we have in verses 1 to 4 the invitation to hear God's revelation. Number 1, the mandate and call of the psalmist is found in verse 1. This psalm begins with an invitation to listen, to hear with understanding, and then to be obedient, to hearken. Can we learn from the past? Can we learn from history? The main emphasis of the message this morning is that we sense the responsibility of making it known to our children. Oh, my people, this morning demonstrates, those words demonstrates the Lord's burden for his people through the psalmist in this writing, that they might learn the lessons of this psalm because they play such an important role in our society today, in our families today. To my instruction, he says, incline to listen, to hear, pay attention to what we can learn from the past. God is calling us to attention this morning. He's calling us to listen. He's calling us to, as we read the word, to listen to the voice of His Spirit and to learn. And the method in verse 2, He says, I will open my mouth in a parable. The method that the psalmist is using to teach us, Jesus in many of His teachings told parables. A parable is an illustration by comparison or explanation, by illustration of comparisons. In other words, he takes a common experience of life, those things of the past, to learn, to teach us about the future. God's past dealings with Israel is summarized in the rest of this psalm, and we could read the whole chapter. We're not going to take time for that, from a parable of spiritual instructions, full of lessons for the people of God. And Jesus done that many times. Talks about, I will utter dark sayings. What is a dark saying? What do we think of? Refers to an obscure idea or perplexing question, difficult, requiring interpretation. It refers to interpreting or disclosing less obvious ideas or truths from the history of God's dealings with His people, with Israel. By observing God's gifts and faithfulness, His mercy, His love, His power, and grace, and the way Israel failed God many times, regardless of their privileges, I believe that we can learn much from this today, as we could from the Sunday school lesson. We can learn much that is essential. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, we're going to keep relating to Psalm 78, so keep your finger there. We will be going back and forth to the New Testament just a few times. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. I would not have you be ignorant. Paul warns us here. Can we learn? Today, can we learn from church history? One could go into that in a message in itself. Yes, we could. The motivation and source of this illustration, which the psalmist has to give, is the truth. He and others, like him, had heard and come to know through their own instruction. But it was an instruction that must be fortified by the example of their fathers. Ultimately, as you go to verse 5, shows us here in verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And that's my emphasis this morning, to make known to your children the wonders of God. That's my burden to the message this morning. All I mean in verse 5 is this tradition of truth had its source in God's word. But I believe that as you read on through that psalm, it stresses the importance, stresses the most effective way to communicate God's truth. As a maximum impact upon our children is, we tell them. Because parents have the opportunity, no one else, a lot more than anyone else has, to model that living example for our children. Any parent here this morning who depends on the Christian day school and who depends on the church to make it known to your children are going to fail miserably, because God has called you to the place of leadership in the home. It is your responsibility That is only a help along the way. As you work with your children, as you talk with them, do you talk about the wonders of God? Do you talk about the things of God? Older youth, as you are among the younger youth, do you help to bring the stability there to younger youth? By helping to guide them in discussions. Fathers and mothers this morning, as you work with them, talk with them. Talk about the Sunday school lesson. Talk about things that they're facing in their life. Don't talk above their head. But talk about the things that they're facing in their life and the situations that they're facing. Help them understand that those things through the eyes of God. And I believe that in verse 4 you have the mission of the state of the psalmist here in verse 4. We will not hide them from their children. That needs to be our mission, that we will not hide anything from our children, but that we will help them. And we will be there to help them understand the deep things of God. It goes on to say in that verse, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and the wonderful works that He hath done. Do we do that in our life to our children? Do we do that in our life to our younger youth? Again, that falls in the lap of our older youth. Parents, this message is for all of us this morning. We will not hide them from their children. We're not going to hide things from our children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power. And they will see in our life and they will desire to want to have that as we are consistent. I want you to notice two things in this verse. First, note the determination to communicate God's truth to the generation to come. There is a determination there that the importance of showing it to the next generation. Secondly, I want you to also notice that these two statements together warn us that when we fail to tell our children about the truth of God, we are in essence concealing and we're hiding the truth of God's word from them as we help them mature in their life and from the generations to come. You need to think beyond yourself, parents. You need to think beyond your children, because the time comes so quickly when you have a number of grandchildren, and the next step is the great-grandchildren, if the Lord grants health and strength. And those times come upon you pretty rapidly, more rapidly than what you think. Again, let me repeat this principle that there can be no religious neutrality. We cannot be neutral. Maybe you think you have plenty of time, but they are as arrows in the hand of a mighty archer who aims that arrow carefully, and so quickly they're gone. And so we want to aim our children in the right direction. If neutrality is the attitude of parents, it will become the religion of their children. When we fail as parents, when we fail as leaders to communicate truth to our children, we are guilty of hiding from them the most important information that they ever need to pass through this world. We are only pilgrims and strangers here, dear ones, this morning. We are just passing through because our home is in heaven, and that's where our citizenship is at. May we not fail this morning to communicate to the next generation and be guilty of such a sin. You know, we're like someone who knows that there's water up ahead in a desert place, but we know that someone is dying of thirst, but we fail to tell them there's water just ahead, and so they die of thirst. We refuse to reveal that. That is nothing less. That is so important as we relate to our children. The great mission of the psalmist, as it should be with all believers and parents this morning, is to unveil the truth of God. That is your responsibility. That is my responsibility this morning. We have and hold in our hands a tremendous responsibility. If we fail, we will face the judgment day with something that will be very serious. So can we learn from the past? We certainly can. The act of telling the next generation needs to continue on to your children, grandparents. We still have the responsibility to grandchildren and sometimes even to great-grandchildren in telling them the things of God. They should learn, they should love to sit with us, to sit with parents, to sit with grandparents and hear the truth of the Word of God. Can we rise to the challenge? My burden this morning is that we are going to communicate to the next generation. Let's look at the next clause. We will not conceal them from their children. Their children means our children, because the children of the psalmist generation are really the children of the forefathers who had seen the mighty works of God, of God's redemption, and received God's word in his truth. Romans chapter 3, verse 2, I'm going to quickly read here. Chapter 3, verse 2. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. We see here the special privileges of the Jews. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, the apostle says. The psalmist is aware of the ever-present problem parents have of communicating truth to their children. The truth of God to the next generation, I believe that is one of the things that the devil wants to interfere with. And one of the things that parents too many times fail in by our indifference to the things of God, by our preoccupation with the pressures of life. We have the pressures of life coming upon us by the materialistic age that we live in, and also by our failure to get real in our walk with the Lord ourselves. I believe there's ever a time that we have faced over the past number of years, coming through the 80s and some of the very prosperous times materially, and has been a hindrance to the church. It's been a hindrance in our lives because we left it be. And by our failure to get real in our walk with God, we become guilty. We become guilty of concealing the truths of God's word from our children, because we fail to tell the next generation. But while we work with them, let's look at that as opportunities to talk with them, to tell them. Those are times when we can talk. Those are times when we can tell them of the truths of God's word. And we can bring up articles for discussion. Let's not be indifferent, but let's be real with God this morning. This morning is the real you here this morning. It's going to be the real you next week. I believe that the psalmist teaches us that this is one of the greatest missions of God's people. I'd like to turn to just a few scriptures. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. There's a lot that one could turn to this morning in the scriptures. Just to notice a few of them. 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I believe if you look into the context of that verse, he will never forget the things that he's been taught. But those things will be there, if he tries to go astray, will be there as a stumbling block for him or her. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, very familiar verse. God is telling parents, you have the responsibility to teach and to train. Older youth, you have the responsibility to be the stability of the younger youth group. What exactly would the psalmist tell to the next generation? The praises of God, his strength, and his wondrous works that he has done, still the same today. We must never miss the fact that the history of creation and redemption provide us with the revelation of God. They reveal His grace. They reveal His mercy. They reveal His love. They reveal His patience. Think about how patient God was with the children of Israel and how God is so patient with us today. And many times when we fall short, He is omnipotent. His faithfulness. God's actions with Israel and their responses provide us with the revelation of both God and man. Let's not miss that fact this morning. That when we communicate the story of creation and redemptive history, is very valuable. But why is all of this needed? The next verses point to us the great need and the aim of hearing. God's revelation, it is never to be just an exercise in religious activities or academics. It has a special goal. The next point is this, that the goal in hearing God's revelation in verses 5 to 8 in Psalm 78, the provisions of God's revelation to His people in that chapter in verses 5 to 8. Go back here to Psalm 78. There are two things that I think we need to note in these verses. First of all, God has established a testimony and appointed a law. And second, He did this in Jacob. He revealed the divine oracles of the Old Testament scriptures and entrusted them to the nation of Israel. Just as today He has entrusted the word of the Old and New Testament to the church, to the body of Christ, to the bride of Christ. What are we doing with it? This stresses one thing very important, that God has clearly revealed Himself in an inspired, authoritative, and infallible document, the Word of God. God's Word. He revealed God's Word through Moses. God revealed His word through Moses. Father, this stresses two great needs and responsibilities we have as believing parents. Number one, we must put our trust in God's word above the ideas of men. For all areas of life, including the raising and training of our children, there are many books written today, and I'm not saying it's wrong to read some other books, but it better be based on the word of God. Right here, there is everything we need. Right in this book. In all areas of life, including the raising of our children. Secondly, but if we are going to do that, then we also need to communicate the character of the Bible as indeed the Word of God, as the infallible Word of God. The inerrant, infallible Word. The Word of God is infallible. It has stood the test of time in the past, present, and will in the future. What book? There have been prophecies that have been fulfilled in this book. There are yet more prophecies, many more, that will yet be fulfilled to the detail that God has described. There are times we don't understand all those details. And this takes precedence. This book takes precedence over anything that man has ever written and will ever write. Let's remember that. The need to be alert to this has become even more important in our day of secular humanism and human psychology, where the ideas of men are raised to the level of Scripture. This book's outdated. No, it's not. This book is still very alive today in the lives of people. And I trust it is to you as parents and young people. The procedure for communicating God's revelation in verses 5 and 6 in Psalm 78. The procedure that he uses, he says that for he established a testimony in Jacob, as we mentioned. And then he says in verse 6 that the generation to come might know them. And it's through us as leaders, as parents, as older, mature individuals in the church, he commanded our fathers. Number one, these words pinpoint the primary procedure God uses to effectively communicate his word from generation to generation. You know, it doesn't take more than one generation to start departing from the truth. I've seen it. Where people lay down the doctrines of the word of God, and this is no longer necessary. And I am remarried because it wasn't really my fault, and so it was okay for me to get remarried. The word of God still stands. I done wrong because someone done this. No. As I said in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Joseph could have whipped his brothers. How many of us would have struggled with the idea that here's my chance? Those things stand as something we can learn from. Finally, if we fail, we have failed to allow the Lord to work. The Lord does work beyond our failures in the lives of people. And I believe that this is the most effective way for children to truly come to know the scriptures is through their parents, through Christian schools, and through the Christian church. Do we see the value this morning of parents? We must see the value of those sidelines where our children can still hear more about God as the Christian school. It's a price to pay. It is a price to pay. But are we willing to, if we have to, omit some things in our life to be able to come up with a school tuition? Yeah, it's tough in a world in which we live. But are we willing to look at what we can do without in order to meet those financial needs and appreciate and the blessing and the authority of the Christian school and the church? But finally, the home is the most important role. But as you support those other institutions, you will help to maximize. We must move on. Number two, obviously, this includes both parents working together. God places the responsibility for this directly on the father's shoulders to make it happen. God holds us responsible this morning for the spiritual condition of our families. There are too many fathers today who are ignoring their responsibility as the one who needs to bring the stability to the home. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. And I believe that can mean in the financial world, yes, but it also means in the spiritual world, in the spiritual dimension of the home. It means more than just simply putting bread on the table. God's word is in an atmosphere of love and grace and patience and loving and discipline and understanding and encouragement. This would also include modeling the biblical values, the priorities in our pursuits. Number three, if no father is present, as the case of some homes today, the responsibility falls in the lap of the mother or sometimes other fathers to take that role. Brothers and sisters, this morning, this is not an option. My burden this morning is, yes, we weren't perfect, and there's no perfect parent. But I want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you are, to pick up from here. I want to encourage you to pick up from here. It's not an option. If you want your children to know and experience God and to experience his blessing on their lives, we must be dedicated to teaching our children to know the Lord and his word and to live a consistent life. If you want to destroy your family, live an inconsistent life, fathers, and you'll do it. Yes, you will. There are illustrations of that today. We are raising a generation of children who need the Lord. American youth today are growing in our scientific age, how more about and know more about getting to the moon or about computers and technology than they do about getting to heaven or knowing about the Bible. A survey taken a few years ago revealed that over half of the teenagers could not name even one of the four Gospels in our world today. And I believe we have teenagers that know the four Gospels. They probably know the books of the Bible. Why? Because they're taught in our homes and they're taught in our schools. You know, we spend thousands of dollars today strengthening and straightening children's teeth, putting braces on, and yes, that's necessary. But how much time do we spend in correcting crooked hearts and twisted lives today? I raise that question as a challenge to you. We go on in that chapter of Psalm 78, the purposes for communicating God's revelation. And we find in verses 6 to 8 that this generation to come might know them. Looking at verse 7 and 8, that they might set their hope in God, that they themselves might not only know, but they themselves will set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And would not be as their fathers. We're told in verse 6 that we need to train our children. Why? So that they will learn to know God. God holds us responsible in some ways, even for our grandchildren, as I mentioned before. We like to think sometimes that, well, children are all gone. Grandchildren come. We like to have a good time with them. But we forget the responsibility of grandparents sometimes to teach them. Because the things they do are kind of cute. And so we laugh and we have a good old jolly time. And we forget the work the parents have to do when they go back home. That's rise to the challenge. I take that as a personal challenge to myself. God holds us responsible. Not when just the children, our responsibility is not released when the children are all gone. Or when they reach 21 while they're on their own. Let's still be there for them. We think sometimes, well, now we can relax. Our responsibility is over. But this passage suggests, I believe, that it is, that's not quite the case. I believe this text teaches us that our aim must extend to the succeeding generations in our families. Secondly, it suggests we need to pray for our children as parents and for our grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. I believe, thirdly, this passage suggests this morning that, when possible, it is good to be around and involved in the lives of these little ones as a future example of love and a Christ-like living. The second purpose, that was all included in the first purpose, but in the second purpose, and I'll try to hasten here, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. That's our desire this morning. That's our goal. That's the second purpose in light of teaching the next generation. Please note the connection between confidence and remembering the works of God. Having confidence in the Lord is vitally connected to knowing. Vitally connected to knowing and remembering and believing that God has worked in history. First in creation and then in the historic acts of God recorded in the Bible. That we can learn so much from. I believe the connection this morning is important because it means that he is still at work carrying out his purposes in today, is gone, tomorrow, this is history. Are we still learning? I believe we live in a humanistic world that has corrupted this very much. Is it any wonder that we live in an age where, as we think of our society today, where people are turning to drugs, they're turning to everything else but to God. Are we here to help guide them to God? The third purpose of this scripture, I believe, that in verses is found in the second part of verse 7 and verse 8, that they should keep his commandments and not be like their fathers. Number one, let me share with you a number of points here yet in the closing of this message. This again reminds us that the purpose of knowing the word is obedience. That's the purpose of knowing the word of God, is obedience. Number two, the truth and instruction of scriptures are not designed for our hurt, but for our blessing. He is called blessed or happy in Psalms 119, verses 47 and 48. Why? Because he knows they are pure in Psalms 19, verse 8. They are true in Psalms 119, 151. Reliable in Psalms 119, 96. And righteous in Psalms 119, 172. Thirdly, what then is the ultimate goal of parents today? To bring their children to the point where they will learn to know God. And don't forget these closing points. That they will learn to know God. They will learn to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And have confidence in the Lord and obey the Lord. Obey the words of God because they understand the nature of the Bible. It is God's manual for survival in a world in which we live. Yes, it is. In the fourth place, the warning of verse 8 calls to mind the attitudes and actions of the wilderness generation. Unfortunately, this morning, as the following historical summary illustrates, because a negative pattern for the children who followed them. They failed miserably. Can we learn from the failures of others? If the fathers are not truly godly, it can become a great hindrance to the next generation. But there have been generations whom God has so miraculously provided other individuals to step into their life, to bring them to the Lord and to lead them through. Godly children who know, trust, and are obedient to the Lord do not happen by accident. It's because there have been godly people in their lives. There have been godly parents, and in case we're not godly parents, other godly people who have led them, who have helped to guide them. Godly children are the product of someone who has guided them. My burden this morning is, parents, step to the platform and be a parent. Shall we pray? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we feel so small. We feel so insignificant. But God, I trust that you will take this message this morning. Strengthen the parents. Strengthen them, God. Oh God, that as they raise their children, that they would tell them of the wondrous things of God, of thee. Lord, bless each parent, bless each grandparent. Dear Father, we also think of those who are not here this morning. Bless Tanya where she is this morning. And dear God, we also pray for Brother Homer, Sister Barb. Say, wait on you, Lord. Wait for the unknown. But Father, we're thankful that they have put their trust completely in you. We know that temptations may come to think otherwise, but God bless them. You have a purpose in all of our lives. So God, help us to fully yield ourselves to you, Lord. God, help each one to be faithful, that there would be the next generations would be faithful, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Dear God, that the things of God would continue on as a beaming light in this dark world. So, dear Father, go with us now. Guide and direct us throughout all of life, and bless the Father's service. In Jesus' name, amen.